A little bit over a year ago, there was a program on television called The Doctor Who Gave Up Drugs. Anyone heard of that program? It was a doctor called Dr. Chris Van Tulleken. We don't know if there's any Dutch heritage, but great name. Anything with Van in there makes you clever. Is that right, Andries? But very interestingly, it was a program that I think was motivated partly by just the simple fact that we're running out of antibiotics and how we seem quite dependent on pills. And the one thing that really struck me was how he visited different GP surgeries and discovered how much pressure there actually is on GPs to prescribe drugs, pills. Part of that is because of the patients. The patients coming there quite often have this expectation to leave the office with something in their hands or certainly something to pick up later, whether it's pills or whether it's some cream that they can put on to sort out the issue, to get back to life. But actually, there's some pressure on the GP surgeon themselves simply because of time. Within 15 minutes at the most, really 10, they have to diagnose and then either think of what further steps to take or prescribe some medication. Now, the truth of this pressure, I've come to realize as being true in my own life. I've had the privilege of visiting my GP since August on a regular basis, and I've really appreciated his support in the time that I've wrestled with my labyrinthitis and my tiredness. But I have to say how often I left the GP surgery also thinking, I wish I left with something in my hands that I could either take or just to get through this and get on with life. But instead, every time I've seen him, he tells me to rest and to take more rest. And although that sounds lovely and I've got nothing against rest, forced rest is one that I do struggle with, particularly because I like rest, but to a certain point, and then I want to just get on with things. Rest, I think, is nice, but certainly in my life is secondary. And I wouldn't be surprised if maybe most of us would live in such a way, in the sense that most of our resting is reactive. We rest when we feel like we need to rest. And that's why I think most of us don't feel like forced rest is all that easy to cope with. And it's simply something we want to get through. Amri has already very kindly shown us that actually also when we do end up resting, a lot of our resting is quite an active resting. Do you know the expression, a change is as good as a rest? There's some truth in it. Just to get away from your normal environment does give you a break from things. And yet somehow it does seem to give us an excuse just to continue our activism just in different surroundings, because even our holidays can be so full and so busy. So I think it's good and it's worthwhile to look at Scripture tonight and hopefully discover or maybe rediscover not only how much the Bible has to say on this topic of rest, but also to rediscover its beauty and certainly its call, but also its necessity. So we've read two passages, but I want to read two more, if you would allow me. And the first one is from the beginning of the Bible, from Genesis chapter 2. And if you're using the Church Bible, then you'll find Genesis right at the beginning on page 1, chapter 2, and just the first three verses. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. We find here that the heavens and the earth were thus finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. And if you turn with me to nearly the back of the Bible, to the book of Hebrews, which again, if you're using the Church Bibles, you'll find on page 942, page 942. But in Hebrews chapter 4, starting verse 1, we come back to this picture of rest. Chapter 4, verse 1 of Hebrews says this: therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, and them is the people of Israel in the Old Testament. But the message that they heard did not benefit them because it was not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest. As he has said, as I swore in my wrath, in my anger, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience. Again, he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David, so long afterwards, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of obedience. And we'll finish our reading there in verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 4. I want to use three questions to guide our study this evening. And the first one, I think, is a very helpful question to start with, and that is simply to ask ourselves, why is it that we don't rest? Why do we not rest? Secondly, I want us to ask the question, what does the Bible have to say about why we should rest? And thirdly, to make it practical, we're going to think about how we then actually rest. But let's start with that first one. And it was actually a little book by a man called Adam Mabry. And I know that if you're interested in getting a copy, Amory can help you purchase one. But a very helpful one called The Art of Rest. And if you're not a reader, look, it's not too thick. But it's very helpfully also touching on that question, why do we not rest? And one, he says, is actually our culture. We live in a culture that doesn't highly value rest. Really, to be busy is to be important. It's even how we ask how our week has been or what have we been up to. It gives that hint of really, you know, our existence is justified by our activities and all that we've accomplished. Rest is really either a luxury or it's laziness. It's maybe even for the wusses, but busyness means importance, and importance means you feel good about yourself. So we certainly don't live in a culture that encourages rest. Instead, busyness justifies our existence. We can even feel guilt when we try to rest. And that can also be fed by the people around us. But it's not necessarily out there in the culture. It can also be in our circumstances. And maybe you're here this evening and say, you know, I would love to take rest, but I can't. I can't rest. There's too many things or people that are depending on me, relying on me. Maybe you're on a job that actually over the years you've found that you've slowly but surely been losing colleague after colleague, and actually you're covering three jobs. How are you able to rest? Maybe even you're in a job that is under fire, and maybe you're trying to work so hard to just keep your job, and again, you're finding it hard to rest. Or maybe you have a home situation where you have kids in a certain stage that are just so challenging that it's hard to have rest as a parent. Or maybe you're taking care of elderly parents or someone else who needs constant attention, and you may sit here and say, I can't stop. I can't rest. Because without me, it would all fall apart. Interestingly, we sometimes even apply that to our service to God. We're busy for God. And if we're very honest, sometimes we're too busy for God. But we do it because we would maybe never say it, but in some ways we feel that God needs us because things that we're involved in and doing wouldn't happen without us. And so very carefully, if you start digging a little bit beyond the reasons why we maybe say we can't rest, there could be a danger of pride. A pride that maybe says that actually it is all depending on me. Or maybe even the danger of the need to be needed. Or maybe phrased slightly differently, the idea of self-reliance underlying all of these. But perhaps it's not, I can stop, but I won't stop. If the former was actually one that we feel we don't have a choice, there are also circumstances where we do have a choice. And you might just sit there and say, you know, I don't need rest. To me, there's a hint of pride in that too, isn't there? I'm doing fine. I don't need rest. Rest, and maybe this is the impatient amongst us, maybe rest feels like it interferes in life and all the plans that you have. But actually, one that also sometimes tells us we won't rest is fear. Because we're worried that rest actually would mean that we were alone, alone with our thoughts, and to avoid any such inner dialogue, we keep busy. Rest actually scares us. But I want to add one more. Where I feel that in this society that we live in, one of the biggest problems that we have to deal with, and that we'll find that the Bible has something to say, is actually, and why we don't take rest as serious as we should, is the simple fact that we've disconnected the physical from the spiritual. So when we're talking about rest with, you know, Joe Bloggs or anybody around us, what we're talking about is the physical rest that we need. I'm tired physically. My body needs a break. However, hopefully this evening we'll discover that the Bible, rest is about so much more than just physical rest and a break. So let's turn to that second question. Why then should we rest? The key passage is right there at the beginning in Genesis chapter 2, where we find God setting aside the seventh day after having created the whole universe and every detail in it in those 6 days before that. And really what these verses tell us is that rest is all about who rules and who rescues. Rest is all about who rules and who rescues. I grew up in the church, in a Christian home, and I feel so privileged. But the one thing that I do think is that the idea of Sabbath was misunderstood. For me growing up, it was all about rules. It was very legalistic. It was all the things that you didn't do. You were not allowed to buy any ice cream. Weren't allowed to watch any sports on Sunday. Not sure where that was in the Bible. But anyway, rules, regulations. And the list of don'ts was longer than the list of do's, but there were some do's as well. You had to be in church at least twice, maybe more. But maybe for you, Sabbath has been something that you're not used to, and maybe you've heard of it, and it's just simply something optional that you look at as a sabbatical. Again, you take the rest when you need it. Or maybe you think that Sabbath is actually fulfilled in Jesus and it has no relevance to us whatsoever now. And it's maybe a little bit about an attitude and knowing that you need rest. But actually, Sabbath, it reappears time and time again. Even back in the last reading that we did in Hebrews. Hence, it's so important for us to understand what the Bible means by rest, Sabbath rest. And maybe the word translated there in Genesis is maybe not the most helpful. Because when you think about rest, as Anne-Marie said, you know, it makes you think of a mattress and we all go to sleep in a nice pillow and we get a lie in. When was the last time you had a lie in? But actually the word literally means that God stops his work. He literally ceases to do whatever he was doing. And why? Not because he was tired or weary, but because his creative work was done, was completed, was fulfilled. It is finished. There's enjoyment in that. He steps back and takes it all in. And he wants us to do the same. The Sabbath for us is not just a break from work, as if the Sabbath is there to serve all the other 6 working days, but actually it means that we stop our work because the real work is already done. And we can rest in that. And yes, we can participate, but ultimately we ought to rest in the knowledge that God is the creator as well as the sustainer, that he is continuing to be involved. He continues his gracious provision and caring, sustaining grace. And for us to rest is to pause and to take that in and to dwell on that. Sabbath rest very much challenges the assumption that our daily work is indispensable to keeping the world going around. Instead, rest will help us to change our work worship into God worship. But by resting, we actually say, don't look at me, but look at God. And ultimately, this is not only regarding the completed work of creation, but similarly, it's also resting in Jesus Christ's completed work of salvation. For what did he say on the cross? He said, "It is finished." If I may put it slightly differently, maybe this is helpful. But what if we don't rest? Well, if we don't rest, we are in risk of actually putting more trust in ourselves than we should. As if our work and our sacrifices are necessary contributions. If we don't rest, we will be in danger of actually seeking joy in ourselves, in our own achievements, while actually missing out on the peace that God wants to give us, that comes with knowing that God reigns and only God saves. We need rest. We need rest to make sure that we ourselves are clear that it is God who rules and it is God who saves. And therefore, only He is the one who gets all the worship. Rest says God has got this. You can understand that for some people, rest is maybe one of the biggest steps of faith that they will ever take. But you'll find that when you do take that step to rest in God, even when it feels that that's the last thing that you have time for, you'll find that actually it will strengthen your faith in return. I thought of this illustration, and I don't know if it's helpful, but do you remember, who learned to swim? In Holland, we all have to learn to swim because there's too much water around. But the fascinating thing is that to learn to swim, you got to unlearn one thing and kind of start learning another thing. The biggest problem that a teacher with swimmers will have is if we come into the pool and we go nuts and we pedal away. And so the first thing you'll learn is you learn to float. Have you ever noticed that? And the floating is where you actually seize your movements. And you start trusting the water and realize actually the water can hold you. And once you grasp that, you start adding the actual, you know, proper swimming movements. That is, I believe, what rest, how rest works. It is a handing over, a surrendering to, but in return, it will actually teach us to walk and continue to walk by faith. So that's the first one. Rest is there. Rest is about who rules and who serves, saves. Sorry, who rules and who rescues. Secondly, then, the Bible also explains that rest is about remembering and reform. Do you like all the R's? Rules and reigns, but also who remembers and reforms. Very interesting how often the whole Sabbath commandment comes back. It comes back in Exodus, but also again in Deuteronomy. And we haven't read this together, but if you have a Bible, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. I don't know the page number of this one, but Deuteronomy chapter 5, the Sabbath rest is revisited. And it says, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy from verse 12, as the Lord your God commanded you. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And on it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock. Or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And then note verse 15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Why did God command his people to keep the Sabbath day? To remember. To remember. Now, I've slowly started to realize that forgetfulness is not age-related. As I said, I grew up in the church, and I remember hearing the stories of the people of Israel being led out of Egypt, and then God miraculously taking them, you know, through that water that separated, and they walked through probably a muddy, the bottom of this water, and then when they'd gone through it, then it all came back and swallowed up the Egyptians. It was mind-boggling. But then the next thing you learned was that the people of Israel, not too long after that, forgot all about it. And you're like, how can that be? I wouldn't forget. such a big thing. I've never seen water just separate like that. I would never forget. And yet, I've realized how easily I forget myself, all of God's goodness and even his miracles. And just like the people of Israel then, I need constant reminding now, regular and continuous reminding. And people, the Sabbath rest is one of the Ten Commandments, not to make our lives miserable, but because God loves us and he knows we need constant reminding. So again, the rest is there for our benefit to remember, but also to reform. Again, turn with me to another passage in Ezekiel chapter 20. And very sadly, here we find a description of what happens when people did not keep the rest. And we find in verse 12 and 13 of chapter 20, the following description. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sacrifices them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes, but rejected my rules, by which if a person does them, he shall live. And my Sabbaths they greatly profane. Then I said I would pour out my wrath upon them in the wilderness to make a full end of them. We find that the result of not taking this beautiful gift of rest, the people of Israel and their hearts went after idols. Instead of the life that was there available for them, if they followed God through obedience, walking in God's statutes, they would have lived. It's as if there is a choice here. There's two possible spirals. That if we choose to rest, it's a spiral up. And that as we put our faith in God, we will find reward and blessing. But if we ignore the rest, we will find that our hearts will go after idols, slowly but surely, forgetting more and more about all of God's goodness. Rabbi Abraham Heschel said this. He said, Shabbat, the Sabbath rest, renews the soul, and we will rediscover who we are. So the Bible explains that rest is about remembering as well as reform. Then thirdly, rest is also about regaining and refreshing. Hebrews chapter 4, the last passage that we read together, is a wonderful picture, not just of the rest that we will receive when we accept the Lord Jesus, but also the ultimate rest of heaven itself. A rest that we're still to enter. Sabbath rest, people, is meant to be there as a foretaste of what is to come. And what is a foretaste meant to do or to be? It's meant to whet our appetite. So for us to take the rest that is a gift from God means that it will help us to long more for the real thing rather than being satisfied by any dull hints or representations here. As C.S. Lewis has said, we are far too easily pleased. Now, again, here's an expression for you that I've wrestled with, but growing up, some people said, but some can be so heavily minded that they're no earthly use. And I know there's some truth in that, you know, you could be so thinking about heaven that you forget that actually to live is Christ, as Paul said. There's things to do here. But people, I strongly believe that in the comfort of the West, that we're more in danger of not living with eternity on our minds enough. For people, if we did, it would influence everything. It would influence our priorities, our passion. It would give us a strong sense of urgency here on earth. Even our struggles, we would understand that whatever we're facing today will one day come to an end. Rest is there as a gift to help us regain a fresh vision of for all that is still to come. And it will refresh and sustain us here now. To run the race with perseverance, to fight the good fight of the faith and finish well. I couldn't help but think, you know, Satan, our great enemy, but defeated enemy. I can only imagine that this has to be one of those areas that he loves to keep us busy with. Because he knows that if he can keep us as busy as possible, we miss out on that rest with God, that rest in God. It's how so many of us quite often describe ourselves as a duck or a swan, where we look serene on the outside, but actually underneath we're pedaling away. There is complete rest available to all of us. And certainly my forced rest, though I wouldn't wish it on anyone, has reminded me that God is faithful and it's good to pause, even important. So let's finish with just thinking of some practicalities. So if rest is such an important thing in the Bible, if it's not only a call but also a necessity, then how do we rest? Well, again, the book was very helpful, I thought, by saying rest is art. Basically saying, you know, on the one hand, rest is all about ceasing work. Rest is about creating space. It's about decluttering. It's about taking a fast from social media so that there's space for God to come and sit with you and to speak into your life. And yet, on the other hand, rest will also differ per person. For some, rest means a nice comfy chair and a good cup of coffee and maybe a good read. For others, that would drive them nuts. And for you, you need to go out. Eugene Peterson, I remember telling this story in one of his books, saying that on a Monday, he would, with his wife, read a psalm at the start of the day and then go out for a long walk. And they wouldn't speak, but as they walked, they would think of the psalm. And not until lunchtime, and that took quite a bit of discipline, I can imagine, but they would have shared what God had been saying through that psalm and as they walked. So rest is art. But that same Eugene Peterson also focuses on the fact that it's not just art, but it's also rhythm. And that actually rest, and the biblical rest, has a rhythm. In the Bible, it was a day and a week and a year. Now, I realize that some work shifts, some are in the caring profession where it's quite hard, and maybe Sundays doesn't always happen to be the day of rest. And actually, for those who are involved in church, sometimes, not sure about how Sunday is a day of rest. But what is important is that rest is regular, that it's planned, and that it's prepared. Sometimes we think we can just stumble into resting. But the way that the Jews would celebrate Sabbath was lots of preparation, lots of anticipation in the preparation, and then when the moment came, they could truly enjoy it. So regular, planned, and prepared rest. But I want to add another one. And that is when you read Psalm 116, that we start our service with, as well as Matthew 11, where we hear of the promise of Jesus wanting to give us rest for all those who come to him. It reminds us that prayer is a crucial part of rest. Prayer is that expression and that statement of reliance on God. In prayer, we come to Jesus, who then longs to offer us that rest that only he can give. Ultimate, the best, deepest, richest rest of all. Prayer also involves the body, the mind, and the spirit. Prayer focuses on worship, and all of these are the elements that resist us from just seeing rest as a break or a sleep, but as having time with God. But lastly, this rest ultimately is also a community project. Just like we've been talking about a caring community, rest actually is also something that we can help each other with. And it's a very small thing, but it's how we talk to one another. Do we prize people when they've taken time out to be with God? Or in our home group, do we take time to find out how much space we've set aside in the week ahead to be with God, to rest with God, to rest in God? And if that's very difficult for people, to be praying for them, that they will take that rest with God. For people, to rest is to trust. To rest is to find joy. To rest is to receive the rewards that God has in store for us. When we rest, we honor God. Rest is a gift. rest this space for God to give all the generously, all that He generously longs to give and say. So people, let's come to Jesus. Let's confess any of the barriers that maybe we've used to not rest. And may we enjoy some of the foretaste of what is still to come.